Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. The Wisdom Journey is a three-year journey through all 66 books of the Bible. It's led by pastor and author Stephen Davey. Today, Stephen arrives in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Despite how some people seem to act, a proper understanding of God's grace does not excuse sin. God's grace should make sin abhorrent to us. Stephen called today's lesson, Does Grace Excuse Sin?
Let me ask you a question today. Here it is. Is God's grace an excuse for practicing sin? You know, that isn't a new question. In fact, 2,000 years ago, the early Christians were wrestling with this very question. Well, with that, we arrive here today at Romans chapter 6, and Paul puts that same question this way here in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? Paul wrote it this way back in chapter 5 and verse 20, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, I could paraphrase this to read, where sin piled up one upon another, well, grace overwhelmed it all still. In other words, the greater the sin, the greater God's grace. And that's true, by the way. Now, Paul knew that somebody was going to say, well, I guess then that I can continue sinning because, well, grace is going to continue increasing. That perspective, by the way, created a false doctrine we call today antinomianism. And that's the belief that since God is glorified by expressing his attributes, and since one of his attributes is grace, and since grace is demonstrated whenever we sin, well, then let's sin so that the grace of God will be magnified. We don't have to obey any of God's commands. Well, let me ask that question again. Does the grace of God excuse the practice of sin? Antinomianism says that you not only have freedom from sin, but you have freedom to sin. A lot of people are going to like that kind of religion. Well, here's Paul's answer to that in verse 2. By no means. You could render this, God forbid, or far from it. You could paraphrase it to mean, don't even think about committing that sin. You know, that's the way my mother would have translated it when I was growing up. Stephen, don't you even think about doing that. Well, Paul goes on to explain why. Here in verse 2, he writes, how can we who died to sin still live in it? By the way, this one question really gives us two questions that ought to stop us in our tracks from ever going down a path of perverting the grace of God by sinning. Ask yourself these two questions. First, have you forgotten what happened to you at conversion? And second, have you forgotten where you belong as a Christian? So when Paul says here, how can we who died to sin still live in it? He's asking, have you forgotten what's happened to you now that you've become a Christian? Have you forgotten that you've died to sin? That is, you don't want to go around sinning every chance you get. You died to that old life. Now, what does Paul mean here that we died to sin if we still struggle with sin? We struggle to obey what's right. And by the way, I got to tell you, and you already know this to be true, you began struggling with doing what's right at a very young age, didn't you? Some time ago, I watched a television program where children were observed being tempted. One at a time, they were brought into a room where they were seated, and then the adult placed in front of them some candy on a plate. And then the adult said to them, I have to leave the room for a minute. I don't want you to eat anything, but when I get back, I'll give you as much candy as you want. Well, then the grown-up left, and the cameras recorded the children's battle with obedience. One little girl sat there just staring at the plate, and then as if she couldn't take it anymore, she covered her eyes with her hands. One little boy looked at the plate, and he's fidgeting in his chair, and then he began to sing loudly, evidently trying to take his mind off the candy. Another child got up and walked as far away from the plate as he could, and he just stood there in the corner talking to himself. Well, that wasn't a bad idea, just get up and walk away. Well, those original sinners, Adam and Eve, well, they didn't walk away from temptation. They walked over to it and took a bite, and sin entered the human race to this day. But why do we struggle with sin after we're saved? How can we struggle with something if we're dead to it, as Paul writes here? Well, we have to go back to verse 21 of chapter 5, and there Paul writes this: "So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, we died to the reign of sin in Christ. In fact, the word here for reign means power or control. The reign of sin is what controls people before they come to Christ. Their master is sin. The reign of grace is what takes over in their lives once they believe in Jesus Christ. I like to think of it this way. Think of being on a pirate ship. The captain's a wicked man. He's captured you and others during one of his raids. Well, he orders you about like you're an animal. But then your government sends a ship, and it defeats that pirate ship in battle. It takes control of that pirate ship, liberating you and the other captives. Well, that commanding officer now chains the evil captain down there below deck as you sail for home. Well, on the way home, that old pirate captain is shouting out orders to you from below. He's giving you one command after another. He's threatening you, and he's telling you what to do. Now, you can obey him if you want, but you don't have to. Why? Well, because he's not your captain anymore. You don't have to follow his orders any longer. So, beloved, when you're tempted to sin, don't forget what happened to you. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. "God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." You have a new captain now. Well, now here's the second question Paul's asking. Have you forgotten where you belong now as a Christian? Again, he writes here in verse 2, "How can we who died to sin still live in it?" Now, in the original language, Paul emphasized it this way: how can we, being who we are, still live in sin? Now, even though we sin, we no longer want to sin because we no longer feel at home there, do we? We don't belong back there anymore. And we used to have a dog named Patches. We got her as a puppy, and she basically grew up along with our four children. Now, if Patches got loose and began to run around out there in the pasture behind our backyard fence where a farmer grazed his horses, well, sure enough, Patches is going to find the first pile of dried horse manure and roll around in it. Let me tell you, she loved doing that. She had a great time out there. I think Patches had some serious issues in life. Well, the truth is, dogs love things like that. Well, let me tell you, if people say they're Christians, but they want to roll around in sin out there and they love every minute of it, they're not doing that because they want to display the grace of God. No, they want to do that. They love the filth of sin. And that reveals they probably aren't believers after all. They love being down there. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean a Christian can't sin. But I'll tell you this, the most miserable person on the planet is a Christian who is sinning. Christians really can't enjoy sinning because they know it's so wrong. They know what it did to Jesus who suffered for it. They know the corrupting power. They know the danger sin is in their own lives. You see, Christian, now that you belong to Christ, your desire is to obey him and to walk in fellowship with him today. It might mean you got to walk as far away from temptation as possible. It might mean you start singing loudly to distract your mind from that temptation. So, back to the question. Does the grace of God give us an excuse to sin? Well, here's the answer. Not at all. Understanding the grace of God doesn't mean you sin all you want. It means you never want to sin at all. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called today's lesson, Does Grace Excuse Sin? And of course, the answer to that is no, it does not. This is the Wisdom Journey, and from time to time, we hear from men and women who have experienced God's grace and yet are also experiencing the consequences of their past sin. Prison inmates, for example, and Stephen, we've recently heard from one of those.
Yeah, it's always a privilege, too, to hear from friends who are listening to the Wisdom Journey while they go through the sentence for the crimes they've committed. And we're grateful for the grace of God that's reached them and for the growth that's taking place in their lives. DJ writes us from a prison in California. He says, I saw your video on my free tablet. Scott, we'll have to explain what that is in a minute. But he says, I want to be put on your mailing list, and I want you to send me, if you can, whatever you have pertaining to Christian literature. Thank you for your prison ministry and your time and your kindness. May God bless you. Well, DJ, thank you for writing us this very kind note.
It's very encouraging to hear from DJ and from all of the inmates who write to us. Last year, we launched the Wisdom Journey on prison tablets all throughout the United States.
Yeah.
I think right now we are in 400 prisons, and there are over 9,000 inmates who are following the Wisdom Journey on those tablets.
Yeah, that's amazing to consider. You know, Scott, I can remember back in the old days when inmates would take a transcript and send it down cell to cell, page by page. Well, now we have these tablets, and all these states are allowing us to be on there. There is a cost to this, but God has given us some funds as people continue to support us. And now to hear this number, I think, Scott, the last time I heard the number, it was 6,000, and now it's 9,000.
Yeah, it grows every single week. It grows.
That's amazing.
We're so thankful for those of you who make this kind of ministry possible. If you'd like to be part of that, we'd love to hear from you today. Our number here in our Cary, North Carolina office is 866-48-BIBLE. You can call us any weekday by dialing 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. Thanks so much for being with us today. Please come back next time to continue the Wisdom Journey.